at your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, good morning, St. Louis. Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show, your go-to destinations for all things remodeling, renovation, and maintenance. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and I'm thrilled to be here on this little chilly Saturday as temperatures drop back down a bit, but that's okay. Maybe everybody will kind of be hiding out inside listening and wanting to get some information about their house today. We've got a jam-packed show lined up with topics that are sure to pique your interest and help you tackle all your home projects with confidence. You can join the conversation with me today. Like he said, 314-436-7900. So, you know, do you have a burning question about your home? Maybe you're wondering where to apply the right type of caulk to ensure a leak-free seal, or perhaps you are concerned about finding skilled labor in today's construction industry. Whatever it is, I am here to help you. Just give me a call. Again, 314-436-7900. Let's tackle those home improvement challenges together today. And remember, no matter what type of remodeling or maintenance challenge you may have, your questions are what make this show great. So don't hesitate to dial in. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. And, you know, last week we covered some really, I think, touching topics with the storms we had, the hailstorms, the insurance. We talked about protection and coverage and what you should be doing and how insurance companies work and look at repairs and all of that, what they'll be willing to fix, maybe what they won't. So we talked about that. We talked about windows and, you know, what kind of damage to look for in the windows, how can they be repaired, and what are kind of typical types of window installations that are performed on a daily basis around St. Louis, how we install those. There is kind of a good, better, best, and we had talked about the three of those and kind of touched on whether the best one can even be performed with a brick exterior and everything you'd have to go through for that and figure that out. So, but, you know, a lot of great stuff before. You can go back in the podcast and re-listen or listen for the first time to some of those if you would like. They're always there for you. So, but speaking of the lines, we've got Scott on the line here. Hey, Scott, can you hear me? What do you got going on?
Yeah. Hey, I just had a quick question about a hot water heater.
Sure.
We've got a hot water heater that's, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years old, not too old. But when you run a lot of hot water, like for the dishwasher or a shower or something like that, the hot water at the top of it seems to pop as it's, I guess, refilling in that. And I've read where that might be sediment in it. And then if you turn on a hot water faucet while it's doing that, it'll really rattle the pipes and things down by the hot water heater. So I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, if you're near there, does it kind of sound like almost like popcorn popping
in a pot or something?
Yeah. So that is hard water sediment inside of that hot water heater is what causes that for the most part. So we've had a lot of discussions in the past few weeks about whether or not to flush the water heater out to try and remove as much of those deposits as you can. And if it's happening so much that when you run hot water and you notice it happening and it's rattling pipes and everything, there's a lot of people that are torn kind of left and right on should you flush that heater or should you not.
Mm-hmm.
And my licensed plumber kind of goes to, if you didn't start doing it and do it every year from the beginning, then you probably just shouldn't, just trying to avoid other things happening, or maybe it breaking down prematurely mm-hmm. because of things going on inside of it. And but for you, and you know, five years or so is kind of the middle of that life expectancy, mm-hmm. you know, of a heater. So it's kind of, you know, 8 to maybe 12 years. If you can get 14 or 15 years out of one today, you're doing really, really good. So you're kind of at the point where I might suggest go ahead and try and flush that water heater out, just because you're probably going to start having problems with this in the next few years regardless.
Mm-hmm.
If flushing won't really cause much in there.
Yeah, and flushing won't cause any other problems, like, you know, sediment going through the lines or anything like that. I've heard that too, but wanted to see what you thought about that.
Well, and that's kind of what some of the plumbers out there are worried about, is it doing something inside the tank. If it's had the buildup for 5 years and you break something loose, if it gets through the lines, you know, of repercussions of doing that, because so much is in there that maybe you end up needing a new heater sooner than you would have if you left well enough alone.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're having it that much, that bad, and it's rattling pipes when you run your faucets and that, I might say go ahead and do it. And I'll tell you what I used to do. I don't do it at this house, but I did it at another house I had, because the water was really hard and we got quite a bit of buildup. So what I would do is I created like a garden hose that I could hook up to my kitchen faucet. So mm-hmm. I bought a fitting that would hook right up. So I'd undo the supply line on the hot side, and mm-hmm. I would screw this garden hose fitting. And it was a homemade contraption that went from a garden mm-hmm. hose to like a 3/8 compression fitting. And I would flush out from my kitchen faucet hot water line all the way through the water heater when I flushed the water heater, because it would clear out some of that from the line itself. So
the waste material you would send outside somewhere, another hose.
It comes out the bottom of the heater on the little hose thing that you open at the bottom. So, yeah, you can – it'll come out there, so you can gather it there. And you know, run it down the floor drain or whatever, and so it's not getting into anything else. But so I had it so bad in one house, I went all the way from the faucet. You know, I'd do the water heater first, flush mm-hmm. it, do everything, then just run that whole line all the way through, let that run for, you know, 15 minutes and see it coming out the hose at the bottom of the water heater and everything. Then I would go back, unhook everything, hook the faucet back up, and kind of refill and pump the air out of the water lines and everything. And that would yearly basis would keep me running pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? And then it's in a walkout basement, so we could run a hose outside easily too.
Yep.
The other last question I had was for the future, because our original water heater probably lasted, gosh, almost 20 years, and we never had this problem. But is there a filter you can put on the supply line going into the water heater if we do get a new water heater, or is there such a thing to get that sediment before it goes into the heater?
There's really not a filter in your main supply lines like that. Your filters are at each kind of faucet and at mm-hmm. your washing machine as the units are filling up, primarily because you'd be cleaning that filter out, and you'd lose pressure, and you'd be cleaning that filter out
mm-hmm.
once a month, once a week, once every mm-hmm. couple. It'd be so often. The best thing to do is to talk about, you know, think about the water, what's happening with the water, and your best is like a water softener,
mm-hmm.
doing some kind of system that changes the micro stuff in the water that would remove that, soften that water, so you don't get as many deposits, and then that mm-hmm. will help. And when you get to the point where you replace that water heater, flush it every year religiously. Just pick a holiday, pick a date, New Year, whatever it is, so you kind of mm-hmm. remember, and flush that thing out once a year, and that'll help with that and that life expectancy. So
Great, great. Okay, well, thank you very much. That's a big help. Thank you.
Awesome. Hey, I appreciate the call, the question. Good question for everybody. We're going to have to jump into a break, but we'll be here. We got plenty of time, couple hours on the air here today. Give me a shout, 314-436-7900. I'm here for you, John. Hang on through the break, and we'll get to you as soon as we return right after this. All right, guys, here we are. We are back. Don't forget, we've got plenty of time today. Cardinals coming up, but we'll have our second hour on 97.1, so you can. If you're not here for the Cardinals, you want to hear more Home Improvement, switch over to 97.1 in the 12 o'clock hour for another hour of this. If not, stick around for the Cardinals and give us a call with your questions, 314-436-7900. We've got John on the line with us here. Thanks for calling in. John, what do you have happening?
Hi, Rick. Rich, I got a question about walls. I got plaster walls, and I was wondering, can I wash them?
So you've got plaster walls, and they're all painted?
Yeah, they're all painted, mm-hmm. And it's just basically all I want to do is clean them.
So that depends more on the paint, really, than the plaster. You can absolutely wash them. And for scuffs and marks, the magic erasers work really well, even on walls. But it's all about the quality of the paint that's on top of it, because a magic eraser can just wear right through the finish of the paint. Washing them with dampness can kind of wear out that paint. So they make paints that have, like, Teflon in it and washable paints, or the paints that are an eggshell gloss or a glossier paint, will take that washing a lot better. So your doors, your trim washes up really nice. So the answer is definitely yes. It's just a matter of the paint and how well will the paint hold up to what type of product and how much washing you do. If it's a flat paint, I would test it out in a closet or something and see what it looks like, you know, after you try it, and then you can go around, because sometimes cleaning off a mark ends up looking worse than the mark itself.
That's right. The reason I'm asking this is because I bought this house and it was already completely painted, and I'm not sure what they used, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But being said that, would you just recommend water, or could you mix a vinegar, white vinegar, in water?
Oh, yeah, you could definitely, a little cleaning solution would be fine. Light vinegar would work well. And yep, and so you can definitely do it, try it, and it's just a matter of how that paint holds up. Years and years ago, when I did a lot of painting, when I worked with my father, we did a lot of apartment maintenance and a lot of apartment painting for renting, you know, apartment rentals.
Right.
And we had a specific color. It was called Rich's Ribbon. It was kind of a yellowish color that we used all over St. Louis, all these apartments. And the reason was, it was a very easy color to touch up. You could touch up, paint it well. But we also used, it was like a semi-gloss on everything. And it was all plaster. You know, this was in Clayton in the city, and 90% of what we worked on was plaster. So we would use semi-gloss in this color. So we could literally go in and clean the walls, touch up paint bad spots, and get, if someone was only in there a year or two, you could get it turned back over and looking really well, really fast. So that gloss is what gave us the ability to clean it.
I see.
Like
okay.
That. So, yep.
So, you know what I'll do is I'll give it a shot, and like you said, a small area, and see what happens. And I think they'll do good. They don't look bad, but I want to keep on top of it. That's what I'm trying, you know.
Yes.
Avoid any, making them look bad, and then they have to go out and do it.
Yep. Definitely. And it's kind of like maintenance on your home in general.
Exactly.
If you clean this stuff up as it occurs, it's just going to work and last longer, kind of like preventative maintenance. It'll stay looking nice longer before you end up painting again. So staying on top of it a little bit at a time is a great idea.
Okay, thanks, Rich.
Yeah, thank you, John. Great question. Great call. So the water heater, when we talk about flushing water heaters, the first question we have with Scott, there's a lot of sway there. And I tend to kind of go down the middle. I almost have a theory each way where one person might say, if you've had your water heater longer than 3 years or so, just don't start flushing it out. Don't do anything differently. So if you're 5-6 years, a lot of people would just recommend don't start that process. Start it when you first get it. Do it every year, and it'll be good and keep it clean. But once it gets so much buildup, it could harm things to try and clean all that out or lessen the life expectancy trying to clean all that out on the burners, all the bottom of the tank and everything. Well, I'm kind of both ways to where I agree with that. And we had a client ask about that. And I want to say their stuff was like 7 years old. And they asked about should they start doing that. And we recommended not. And I agreed. And it was primarily because they weren't having any issues whatsoever. So they just thought, well, I heard it's good and maybe we should be doing it. And it's like, so if you're not having any issues, then I would probably consider leaving well enough alone and seeing how that works and lasts and how much time you can get out of it. If you put it in brand new and you start, you know, after the first 12 months, flush it out, you do it every 12 months, that's a great theory and a great thing to do also. But if you're so far into that life and you're having things happen like Scott was talking about, I again would just probably recommend, yep, flush it out, see if you can help that, consider a water softener, see if that'll help prevent so much of it happening in the future. They can test the water, figure all that out, and you know, really help you out with that. So we've got plenty of time. We got a lot of show left for you guys. We're going to get into our middle break here. But again, give me a shout, 314-436-7900 or toll free 800-925-1120. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, we're back again and got all kinds of time for everybody. Having a great time today. I already had a couple of really good questions. Anything you might need around your house, any remodeling, renovation, maintenance, any type of burning question you got going on, I'm here for you today. 314-436-7900. The phone lines are wide open, or 800-925-1120. And so, yeah, we had a couple of good questions, and there is a couple things I wanted to make sure I tried to hit on some more. Again, going back to, you know, last week we had some really good discussions about the storms and your insurance and how to fix things well and better ways to install things, and touched a little bit on storm chasers and some of the things that the municipalities have been starting to do over the past 10 years or so in trying to help and protect us on who's working on our homes. Because there's these workers, these companies, these storm chasers, we call them, that, you know, there's like national list that they can look up all these weather reports. They can tell you where bad storms have been, where has hail hit. And, you know, years ago, I was going to an appointment, and I realized as I was driving, I kind of got off track, and I'd put the wrong address in my GPS. So I stopped off of Lindbergh and 70 and went up a ways, and I pulled into a parking lot, and I ended up in a parking lot of an extended stay hotel. And it was right after, during a time we had a lot of hailstorms and bad storms, and I'm sitting in this extended stay parking lot checking my address, my GPS, realized, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be going here. I need to change where I'm going and try and get that way. And I look across Lindbergh at another extended stay hotel, and both parking lots are absolutely full of, and this was early morning on my first way to first appointment, and they're both full with trucks, with trailers, with ladders, with all these workers in town directly because of these storms, and just picking up on the work and all the stuff that's needed. It was quite astonishing to me that so finding somebody local, understanding that they're local and they can honor their warranties and all that is a really, really great idea. But hey, we got Keith on the line with us. So Keith, can you hear me? What do you got going on?
Yeah, this is way out of left field. And
sure.
I thought I'll ask you. I live over here in Collinsville, Illinois, and we built a house in a subdivision in 2000, and they said that sewers are coming. Well, the sewers as of 2024 did not come. So you know what an aeration system is?
I'm not super familiar with the aeration systems.
I mean, this is not like a sprinkler system. It's called an aeration system. In other words, the effluent, it comes out of your house.
Uh-huh.
It goes into a lift station, and it spins around. It spins this stuff around, and then it goes into a lateral field.
Oh, okay.
So about, I guess, 2 years ago, they said that my lateral field has collapsed and that I need to replace the lateral field. But they wouldn't let me put it where the old lateral field was because they said it's saturation. So I had to change the lateral field into a different location. Now, during all this, the guy that came out, like the county guy came out, he approved everything. But he says, you know, you've got five bedrooms here, and this lateral field is only capable of taking four bedrooms. And now we're thinking about selling the house, and we're going, man, if first off, I don't know if they'll test it, you know, check us out like that. But I never have heard anything like that before.
Yeah.
So, and then what happened this about a half a year ago, this guy came out, you know, they pump the system out every so often, you know, because they just, and the guy says that my media had collapsed. And what a media is, it's not like, you know, the newspaper or anything,
yeah.
But what a media is, it's like this honeycomb thing that goes down into your station there, and it absorbs all the effluent that comes out, and it's a pretty expensive thing. But I just wanted to know if anybody else out there has heard about this four-bedroom, five-bedroom, three-bedroom, you know, stuff on this. And, you know, I don't know if you knew anything about it because it's way out of left field.
Yeah, no, I do know about that part of it. And I have worked in some neighborhoods and where they have lift stations to get the sewer up to where it can run through a leach field. But definitely when they design those fields for your sewer system in the field, it is calculated by how many bedrooms. They're thinking of people, how many occupants. So you can have 10 bathrooms and three bedrooms, and they'll go, you need a field for the size of three bedrooms for this is how many people you could possibly should have living in the home. So that's how they calculate how big that field needs to be and how much waste it needs to handle. So yeah, it should be, they should have put in a field, you know, a lateral system that would accompany the five bedrooms for your home. I'm surprised when they redid it that they didn't.
It was partially my fault because this lateral field takes up a lot of the backyard, and
uh-huh.
I can't plant trees over that lateral field.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put a swimming pool in there, but if I sell the house and another guy wants to put a swimming pool in there, I don't know what to say, you know, I mean, because
yeah.
You can't disturb that lateral field. And like I said, the city of Collinsville should have, you know, they said they promised us sewers and it's not coming in here, you know, and that would solve all of our problems, really, you know.
Yeah, well, it definitely would. And I wouldn't be surprised when you go to sell the house, they could possibly ask you to to add to that field to make it the size for five bedrooms, and they may possibly require you to do that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, that's I'm just kind of picking some other people's brain about, you know, this situation. And like I said, they did say we get sewers up here, but not yet.
Yep. And but that is how they calculate those septic fields. So definitely it's the amount of occupants, it goes by bedrooms. It is interesting, because if you had two kitchens and you had 10 bathrooms and you had them all running at once, it might not be enough, but you know,
right.
But they're just looking at people in the house. So appreciate the call. Great question.
Thanks.
Keith.
Thanks, man.
For Harold and Rick, if you could hold on through our final break here, we'll get to both of you after this, and we'll get to you right before Cardinals start and everything. So we'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back. We've got one more segment here, then the Cardinals will start. But if you're looking for me in the second hour, 12 o'clock hour, switch over to 97.1. You can get more of the home show there. Or stick around, have fun with the Cardinals. We got Harold on the line. Let's go straight to Harold and see if we can help both them out. We got Harold and Rick. So, Harold, we'll start with you. How you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
Good. Hey, thanks for calling. I really appreciate it. What's happening for you?
Well, I got maybe two issues. One is that at night when we're sitting in the room, in our great room, we have all hardwood floors in the great room, dining room, foyer, and into the bathrooms. And when we're sitting at night, you can hear, and I'm sure it's that wood shifting because there's like a pop at night.
Uh-huh.
And then even when you get up in the morning and we sleep with the temperature down at night, and when the heat goes on and it starts warming, I guess with the pipes along that wood, they start to pop. And the other issue that I have is that in a couple of spots, primarily where it's a high traffic area, going from the great room in towards the front door and to the bathroom, the floors squeak. Do you know of someone that does hardwood floor repairs? I mean, I don't want to tear it out, but I thought maybe getting a screw down, because I can see I've owned it for about 5 years, mm-hmm. and it's a villa. And I can see where they have probably put a screw down through there and then put like a cork in behind it and then kind of put a like a shellac or something over it. But all I get when I Google squeaky floors is they give me the little brackets that go in the bottom and these screws that I'm certainly not skilled enough to do.
Yeah.
Do you know someone?
I think there are. I have seen at home shows years back. I haven't seen them in a while. I haven't been to any of the home shows in a little while, but there was some floor squeak companies that would go around and try and fix squeaks in hardwood floors like that. And I will warn you sometimes too, that those squeaks, especially if you get to like a 4 foot or a 3 foot wide hallway, sometimes those squeaks as you're walking could be between the floor and the actual wall. And if they're moving separately and there's a nail through, that's kind of what makes that squeak sometimes too. So I've seen people work a lot on the floors and they're like, nothing's ever helped. And if you can make that wall and floor lock together, I've had that get rid of some squeaks at the same time. Uh-huh. But I think if you Google, you know, floor squeaking companies, there's some people out there that I've seen in the past that have kind of focused on that. I've also heard take like talcum powder and kind of work it into the grooves and kind of sweep it and get it inside between in the tongue and everything. And that might help kind of soften some of those squeaks in hardwood floors. But getting to it from the underside and screwing up from the plywood into the hardwood floor can also help if your basement's unfinished. So there's a few ways to try and tackle that. And then there's the brackets, because sometimes your squeak is between the plywood and the actual floor joists, and those brackets will tighten those down and hold that tight. Sometimes you end up doing kind of three different things before you finally find it and get it taken care of. So for your popping, definitely that could be other things too, other than just the wood floor. That could be in your framing and your floor joists. Houses are moving and growing and expanding and contracting. I would say watch and check the relative humidity in the house and see if that's fluctuating a lot, if it's high, and then there's a time when it goes down, because that'll shrink the wood, and that's where that popping comes in too. You get the ductwork running, and it sometimes it's so bad it sounds like someone's walking down the hallway or down the floor, because it kind of pops as it turns on and runs and change, yes, kind of heats up all that wood. And those are really, really hard to take care of and find.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Well, thank you very much for your assistance. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate the call. Great question. We're going to jump over to Rick and see what Rick has going on. Can you hear me, Rick?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
My pleasure. Outside pulling weeds. Amazing here, March 23rd, there's so many weeds out here already.
Yes, we've had some warm weather. It's going up and down, though. It's pretty chilly today. I hope you got your hoodie on or something to keep you warm.
That I do. But my question I was calling today was regarding inside with my HVAC system. Our house was built in 1988, and the furnace and air conditioning, everything is, what comes from that is your normal sheet metal or aluminum box that comes from there that, you know, is transferring the heat or the cooling. But to go to the individual rooms and the individual vents is this flexible hosing or flexible tubing, I should call it there.
Yeah.
And like I said, we've lived here for almost 30 years now, and we've never had our venting system cleaned. And I'm wondering, with this flexible type of thing, flexible types of hose, can these people like Stanley Steamer and Renner and some of the others I've heard that do that, can they do that without damaging this flexible tubing?
That there is a really thin piece of plastic inside of that flexible tubing.
Okay.
So I have seen it cleaned out. I know that they should have a way to do that without damaging it. I'm sure they soften up the air pressure and all that, so they're not tearing up that inside lining, plastic lining in it.
Okay.
But I have seen them go through there and clean that out. Same thing with the dryer vent hoses and stuff. There's still ways to be, you know, softer brushes and things so they don't damage it. So they should be able to.
Okay. I appreciate it. I just really wasn't sure. I'd like to get it done because you have no idea with so many years between dog hair and dust and dirt and other things there, if it's causing us health problems or whatever. And so I thought I'd ask you guys there first if you'd ever done it or heard if it would work, and then give a call and see what these individual places, companies will say.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. No, it's definitely a good idea to get it cleaned out, especially if you haven't in quite a while. So appreciate the call, Rick.
Thank you for your help. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. And that's another topic, kind of like the flushing of the water heater. That there's another topic there on, I've heard a lot of questions. How often should I get my ductwork clean? And I've always kind of related that to, you got to look at how dirty is it, what's in your home, what are the pieces of the home that create dust. More people living in the home than less people living in the home will create more dust. The more you go in and out, there's so many circumstances that it's really understanding to look and check and just see if you can see how dirty it is. Sometimes it can be really dirty in a lot shorter amount of time. And so even the recommendations, I would have to guess that places that clean the ductwork are probably going to say a little sooner than someone else's recommendations. But mine would be more, if there's a way, if you could get in it, if you could look at it, if you could see it and watch it, how often does your filter get dirty? How often are you changing the furnace filter, all these things kind of factor into how often should you really clean that ductwork out. So I don't personally have a set date, like do it every so many years, because you could maybe might not need it if you've had it done a couple times and maybe you have hardwood floors so you got less dust. I mean, your toilet paper, your paper towels, all these different circumstances of the house, carpeting, more rugs, all these will create dust. How many pets you have. There's so many factors that contribute to that, that yes, I would definitely say try and look at it and see what's happening. Now, we're going to have Cardinals starting here in just a minute, so stick around for the Cardinals. If you have questions for me, if you have anything going on, you want to hear more home improvement at 12 o'clock, jump over to 97.1 with us, and we'll be on there. We'll have one more hour. I'm going to be talking about some types of caulk and a call I had last week asking about a type of caulk. So we'll get into that in the next hour on 97.1. Join us for that. Otherwise, go Cards. Stick around for the Cardinals. And for everybody with the Cardinals, I'll talk to you next week. I'll talk to everybody else here in just a minute.